get the eRadio SA app right now for free on the Google Play Store. Entertainment Radio on the go.
It is time for Tech Thursday on a rainy Thursday here in the Garden Route. Kane is with us again today, and we are chatting about all the biggest tech stories for the week. Also having a laugh or two. Kane, I don't think we laughed enough last week. Do you know that?
Really, eh?
No.
We're going to have to turn up the volume.
Yeah, we're going to have to laugh some more, man. Last week, it was very serious. I was actually listening to it afterwards. Like, hey, we didn't even laugh. This is terrible. Anyway.
Because in real tech problems, you generally get sad, you know, when your computer doesn't work or your hot water bottle doesn't heat up.
Yeah, exactly. But how are you doing, man? Are you well?
I'm doing very well, thank you. I'm actually very excited to go over the tech news this week because we have some very exciting updates. Do you want to hear some of them quickly?
Yes, of course.
So, listen to this. So, Amazon, a new Amazon headquarters and other developments set to create 40,000 jobs in Cape Town, something like 31,000 square meters of like business and residential area being created from it. You can now order KFC via WhatsApp. How cool is that?
I saw that. I was actually going to talk about that as well. Yeah, it's so cool. It's fantastic. Yes.
Then, hackers stole $613 million in a big crypto DeFi heist and returned $260 million of it. And we're going to think about why they might have returned that amount of money and what is the reason there, what they say. Google, speaking about money, also hit with a fine in the EU of 8.5 billion rand in France after failing to strike deal with news publishers.
Yo.
How big is that?
That's big.
Imagine hitting, getting hit by that kind of fine. Yo, you start, you know, double backing. I would never imagine. I'll pay that for the next six generations of my family.
Yes. Sure.
TikTok is now the most downloaded non-Facebook or gaming-related app in the world. How crazy.
I can believe that.
Absolutely. I mean, when I go on TikTok, I'm locked in. You know, I could be there for a day. I could be there for 6 hours. It's up to the quality of the content to actually disengage me. That's how good their algorithm is at creating interesting content.
Yeah, you get stuck in a loop.
Exactly. Audi just came out with a new concept for its electric roadster that literally semi-transforms, and it looks like the sexiest car I have ever seen in my entire life. I mean, it beats Lamborghini, beats any retail sports car that I've seen, and it looks absolutely gorgeous. It's called the Audi Sky Sphere. I'm sure some people will know about that. It looks next generation, kind of high tech kind of look, you know, that kind of angle, futuristic, so to speak. And then APSA launched a $6.5 billion renewable energy fund here in South Africa, which we know is needed badly because about 80% of our energy, which is generated, is coal.
Yo, listen, I actually now, a sneak peek while you're busy talking about the Audi Sky Sphere, I actually went onto Google and Google Images. Oh my word, what a car. It's you know, some of these cars look like robots, but this one is still acceptable. It's still stylish.
Absolutely. I mean, let's actually talk about it for a second. Listen to this. So it basically, they're terming it slightly a sort of transformer. What it does is the vehicle extends by 250 millimeters or 25 centimeters and ups itself by 1 centimeter using electronic motors inside the frame with a sophisticated mechanism. So obviously you can go between sport and like road, you know, road luxury kind of travel kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yo, but it's beautiful. It's very, very stylish. Because some of these cars, they lose that stylish feel because they just look so robotic and, you know what I mean? Too futuristic. I don't know. Maybe that's just my opinion. But this one has got all the little stylish things to make it stylish.
It really looks like something that you would see in a futuristic movie, you know?
Yeah, but like it's still stylish at the
Batman
same time.
2160 or something.
Yeah, or Knight Rider 3000 or something. Yeah.
You know when you try and take a screenshot of your banking app and it says screenshots aren't allowed here? I feel like if you take your phone out and try to take a picture of it, it's just going to say, sorry, pictures aren't allowed.
Yes. I'm actually seeing that. Listen, it's interesting that you're bringing that up now, because I'm actually seeing that on more and more apps nowadays where you can't take screenshots. I wanted to send somebody, I don't know why I didn't just send the link the other day, so I wanted to take a screenshot of a story on News 24, and also it said to me, can't take screenshot due to security policy. So that seems to be a new thing.
Absolutely. I know that some apps actually have a way to toggle this feature on and off. But for someone like me, you know, I'm often creating tutorial videos and things like that. When I can't video myself doing something on my phone, it becomes actually pretty tricky to do a video or create content. So in my opinion, it works very well to protect the end user. But the only person taking screenshots is you, unless there's an app on your phone which you've vicariously downloaded that now is like hijacking your screen or whatever, and it can see personal information and stuff like that. But I don't necessarily, you know, I don't see a problem with you being able to screenshot something. I mean, on a banking app, for example, usually you send a payment and then you screenshot it and you just send it to the person and say, look, here's your proof of payment.
Yeah.
You know, so it becomes a little bit more tricky. You know, you got to use email, you know, proof of payment or SMS proof of payment. I mean, it's not a chain smash, but I don't necessarily see the need to stop the ability for screenshots to be taking place unless there's another app which can take screenshots for you, in which case that is a bit of a problem. Do you want to hear that? What do you have for us today, Jan?
Well, Kenya, not much. After you took everything. No, I'm joking. Now, I see Vodacom customers are dealing again with airtime that's disappearing. We're seeing this across all the cell phone networks. Well, luckily, I'm on a contract, so I'm not noticing that. Are you noticing airtime disappearing or know people who experience it?
Well, that is an interesting issue. I haven't heard about it, but would you buy airtime disappearing? What, you load like 20 Rand, you come back and it's 5 Rand?
Yeah, or even less. Some people say it goes into the minus, and then they load some more, and then it actually takes it off the new amount. That's not cool. My Broadband actually published a table this week, and they did a test. So they loaded 15 Rand on Vodacom, and then... I mean, it's not a lot that went missing, but on Vodacom, after 1 week, it was 14.97 Rand, so 3 cents disappeared for no reason. And after 2 weeks, 14.93 Rand, so 7 cents disappeared for no reason. But they did the same test on MTN and Telkom. Okay, they obviously didn't do Cell C, and isn't there another one? But anyway, they didn't do it on those networks. And those networks were fine. They just left that 15 Rand there. But Vodacom seems to be taking cents off, and eventually people end up with nothing. That's quite interesting, isn't it?
That's very scammy. And you know what's interesting? For you, if you were to steal some airtime, you would be in a bit of a situation, because you can't necessarily convert that airtime into money. The only person that can convert airtime to money is someone like Vodacom, because if they manage to steal a few cents from every single person and they aggregate 100,000 Rand worth of airtime from 50 million subscribers, and then they go and sell airtime to new subscribers, that's a way to liquidate that money and actually get funds out of it. So it's an interesting way for them to profit, potentially be profiting off of the endeavor. But if it's a mechanical or software related issue, I hope they fix it, because the only other thing that it points to is like theft, and you're being stolen from by your own service provider. I mean, that's a bit untoward.
Yeah, but you see, even though it seems like it's only 7 cents, but I mean, eventually you end up with 14 cents and then later 1 Rand eventually, and then later 4 Rand. You know, it's a bit of a sneaky way. They just take it so you don't notice, but later on you notice. And then people ask, you know, did I leave my data on or something? You know, they usually think it's their fault, but not always. Or did I subscribe to some porny thing or you know, and then money just start disappearing.
I just did a bit of a calculation. So if 7 cents disappears from 1 million people's devices or contracts, and someone aggregates all those cents, that's 70,000 Rand.
Ah, you see. Bloody clever. Bloody clever, I tell
you. That's a lot of money.
Yes. But we're just speculating, of course. But who knows? Who knows, eh? Who knows?
But I wonder who the airtime thief is, just browsing around stealing bits of airtime.
Yes. But I've also seen that, you know, you get MTN and you get data share on MTN and on most of the networks. And I think that's a problem sometimes because they do have security breaches and people can eventually get into your stuff and steal your data or your airtime in that way as well. But I mean, that's got nothing to do with the network, apart from the loopholes, of course, in the security. But have you ever looked at your phone, Kane, and you saw, I don't know if you want to check your menu on your phone now, and you saw something called NFC, near field communications?
Isn't that that way you can like send a contact from like one phone to another, or a message from one phone, I mean an image from one phone to another, just by tapping the phones together?
I'm not too sure, but I know that there's a new use for that NFC thing. You know, usually we send stuff via WhatsApp or Bluetooth or whatever, but now Woolworths announced the launch of a pilot near-field communications NFC system in several of its stores to allow customers to browse, try on, and then order products by just tapping their phones on NFC tags. You're right. It's a tapping thing. And it's at various locations in stores. So you just go and you see a nice gown or something, and you tap your phone on the NFC tag, and then you can try it on, and I suppose you can order it or pay for it. NFC. Oh, this is interesting. We just learned something here. NFC is the same technology used in the banking industry's tappable cards. Okay, so when you are going to the shop and you tap your card, which is so convenient but so dangerous at the same time, that is NFC. Oh, you learn something new every day.
So it's a type of RFID, basically, which is the same bit of tech that's in your card, when it allows you to tap and pay and allows people to come past and steal your credit card information by bumping into you.
Yes. It facilitates wireless communication between your smartphone and the chip reader. So Woolworths will now augment it and streamline the shopping experience. It's nice. Now, okay, so that's very convenient. But what did you mention earlier about ordering KFC on WhatsApp? How on earth? That's just too convenient. Wow.
Yeah. So I know that most of us have ordered KFC at least once in our life, either from the online app or through, you know, drive through, or even from a delivery means like Uber Eats or directly from KFC themselves. But I don't think a lot of people have ever ordered fast food from WhatsApp, you know, from a fast food retailer such as KFC. Mm-mm. So the fast food chicken chain said its platform is 100% automated and leverages natural language processing. As a consumer-led organization, we understand the limitations that high data costs can pose in transacting online. WhatsApp, with its lower data use, is the perfect channel to mitigate this, said Nicholas Dumini, digital and e-commerce director for KFC. He said, connecting with and catering to the youth market in South Africa has always been a top priority. The KFC chat ordering channel is a great way to do this. But most will ask, well, you know, what is the catch? Mm. You know, can I just go onto WhatsApp and place an order? And how do I pay for that order? Well, at the moment, you can go and place an order, but WhatsApp ordering is only available for click and collect, which means you place your order, you go to the place, and you collect your order and you pay for it there.
Okay.
Which is kind of like a glorified chat support, in my opinion,
exactly,
more than an order ordering system. But they say that functionality is soon to come. But I know in like China and things like that, where they have WeChat, WeChat actually facilitates online payments. So you would be able to order and pay through WeChat. I think WhatsApp is also trying to head in that direction. There's obviously a lot of financial regulation and technology that's required in order to be able to do that successfully. You know, what stops someone from saying, I just ordered, you know, from WhatsApp, I don't have my phone with me, you know, can I just collect my order? I can't remember what I ordered. You know, people can come in there and try their scams. I mean, if you're hungry, you're ready to do anything. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting to see how they deal with South Africa. Also, if you look at like Europe or Australia or New Zealand or even USA, there's not as much slang there as in South Africa, you know? So I wonder how their natural learning technology is going to deal with South Africa's slang and things like that. and if it will learn while you order and it'll get better and better, or if it's like a you know, a once-off, one type of technology which just has a, you know, a database of words and terminologies and things like that that has to be manually updated. It's going to be interesting to see how they go through it. But still, very interesting. You can go just onto WhatsApp. You can add the number 087-153-1074. You can send hi to get started and start, you know, placing your order. I wonder if it'll work in somewhere like Nysna. I think I might try it.
Yeah, let me know. But obviously, when you say hello or hi or whatever on that WhatsApp, it's an automated response. So eventually, I wonder if you get directed to an actual person eventually, or if it is just all automated. Probably it is, yeah.
I think it's, at this point in time, we'll probably be all automated. And then, you know how they probably have a system in place for their online app that you can order from, that it kind of communicates with that online app and goes through the same channels. I imagine that's the technology they would want it to kind of produce, so that, you know, you don't have, because in, you know, when you're trying to get on top of the tech world and trying to, you know, be innovative, you don't want to become overcomplicated in the same effort and make it very difficult to manage. And obviously, the person who created the functionality for WhatsApp or the team isn't available in every single KFC. So it would have to be something that the people within the KFC can easily understand and manage. Otherwise, you're going to get a lot of negative publicity. You're placing orders, they're not ready, they didn't receive it. Oh no, I would lose my mind. You know, you go out of your way to collect your burger and chips, and then you end up waiting there anyway and ordering from a person anyway.
And I don't exactly picture somebody standing there behind the till with a phone answering all the WhatsApps of people who want to order. It must all be auto. Can you imagine? Shame, man. And you have to deal with walk-ins as well. That's just crazy. But anyway, we're going for a quick music break. What are we coming back with, Kane?
So we're taking a look at two very interesting points. So Amazon, obviously, launching in Cape Town. We've spoken about it before, creating 40,000 jobs. And also Absa launching their 6.5 billion rand renewable energy fund, which is actually a 500,000 rand investment and 5 billion worth of renewable energy technology. So we're going to see how that's going to influence the current electricity production.
Okay, when we come back, more on that. Stay tuned.
Get the eRadio SA app right now for free on the Google Play Store. Entertainment radio on the go.
And we're back on Tech Thursday right here on eRadio with Ian, myself, and also Kane. And today, looking at some more awesome and interesting tech stories that made the headlines this week. Kane is telling us about the next story. Kane, welcome back.
Hello, welcome back to Tech Show. So we're talking about Amazon's headquarters and other developments to create jobs in Cape Town. So the Western Cape's trade and investment company, Westgrow, has reported a record start to its financial year, with the group securing 5 billion in investment off the back of major real estate deals. So Westgrow said that it also has 22 new projects in the pipeline, with Cape Town and the Western Cape seen as a lucrative investment destination, particularly in the information communication technology, or ICT, manufacturing, real estate, green economy, energy, and tourism sectors. The group said that it expects these and other developments, including a new Amazon headquarters, which will create 40,000 jobs in the area. The city approved over 20,300 building plans worth 21 billion since the start of COVID-19 lockdowns, and on 27 March 2020 to 15 July 2021. Major new developments approved by the city worth 40,000 jobs are said to fuel Cape Town's economic comeback, including Harbour Arch for 14 billion, the V&A Waterfront Canal District for a total of 4 billion, and the River Club to be anchored by Amazon Africa's HQ with 5 billion. Mayor Nia said the latest investment announcement proves that despite ongoing shocks to the provincial economy, the Western Cape continues to be resilient and remains an attractive destination for investments. How interesting, right? Now, the thing about Cape Town is it has the highest concentration of VC capital firms, which is basically where a person with an idea will go in order to secure funding. And it has some of the highest concentration of tech companies that I think in 2020 saw amount of like 40 billion rand investment into the district. So it's definitely a fast expanding space. Now, Ion, have you ever ordered something off of Amazon?
Amazon? No, I don't think so. I've used Loot, I think, and Takealot, but definitely not Amazon. Have you?
So I have used Amazon maybe once or twice, but obviously the real reason that someone wouldn't buy from Amazon is because there's the speculation that it's coming from overseas.
Yeah.
You're probably going to lose it in the South African postal services.
Yep.
And it's going to cost a lot of money, one, for the delivery of the item, and two, the actual tax on the item arriving at you. Because when anything from overseas comes into South Africa, you have to pay tax on that item and you have to pay for the delivery of that item. That's not carried by the seller. So traditionally, people wouldn't buy from Amazon unless you're buying something from Amazon, which is very hard to acquire in South Africa. And my hope is that the Amazon HQ, which will be in Cape Town, extends that reach of Amazon so that products and items can be sold from South Africa to South Africa and actually be able to facilitate that marketplace. Because Amazon is actually a very easy to use, very simple to understand, and very popular actual e-commerce store to buy things from. Actually, I recently watched a video by Jeff Bezos, who obviously was the CEO of Amazon, when in 1994 or 99, between 1994 and 1998, when he was seeking investment for Amazon, he raised $1 million from 20 different individuals, each investing about $50,000. And he had to speak to 60 individuals, 40 of which said no. And every single time he walked into the room in order to acquire investment and sell the product, he first had to explain what the internet is.
Oh, right? My word.
Now, can you imagine that today? I mean, everyone knows what the internet is. So it's amazing to see how much we have advanced technologically. It makes sense that Amazon is expanding and making sure that they're available in regions which are under-tapped, such as South Africa, where only a select few individuals are ordering. But when you look at something like, where does Amazon sell the most products? Where is Amazon the most popular? USA is one of the most popular places for Amazon, making up for at least 20% of its annual revenue. Now, that's a lot considering they're available in almost every country, right? Just like Amazon did in 1994 to 1998, where they were explaining the internet, how does the internet work? Now, Amazon also just posted a job opportunity for people to go and actually submit CVs to and things like that for a blockchain or cryptocurrency-based employment position, meaning that they're also going to potentially be tapping into the crypto industry, where up to before a year or two ago, if you wanted to raise any money for your cryptocurrency project, you would first have to explain, what is cryptocurrency? How does cryptocurrency work? What is Bitcoin? And now today, wondering what it's going to look like in 5 years from now, from a cryptocurrency perspective, as a digital asset perspective, we're going to see a lot of growth in this industry over the next coming years. And it's good to see Amazon in South Africa. I mean, 40,000 jobs is no small feat. That's a lot of employment opportunities.
That's
especially
great.
Especially considering South Africa's COVID lockdown, you know, its recent massive job loss over the COVID duration, where only big businesses could foot the bill to continue paying their employees and things like that.
Really, yeah.
I hope we see some big developments there.
Yeah, well, that's very interesting. So Jeff Bezos made it back to Earth. That's nice to know. have you tried a BritBox yet?
I haven't. Have you?
No, but I want to, and I might have some time this weekend, especially with the rainy weather. I see that South Africans can take BritBox for a spin on a free 7-day trial, and then obviously they're going to start charging you after that. After the 7-day trial, they'll start charging you 100 rand, and then there's an annual plan also where you'll save a bit of money if you pay pay it annually, you will only pay R1,000. And they've got the apps, Android and Apple smartphones and tablets and all that kind of stuff. So it's everywhere. We're looking at shows like, you know, it's classic shows and most people already have the DVD sets. So the question is it really worth it? We're talking classics like British classics like Fawlty Towers, Mr. Bean, Blackadder, Only Fools and Horses and all that kind of stuff. You know, those are usually up on the rack where people have their DVD collection. So my question is it really worth it to sign up and watch these classics if we have them already or available to us on a lot of free platforms? That is the test drive. I'm going to take the test drive and I will let you know.
I think the most interesting question is, you know, with regards to like Netflix, Amazon Prime, Showmax, all of these digital content networks where you subscribe in order to view, the biggest fallback of them, especially when I'm looking at Netflix at the moment, is the lack of new content.
Yep.
And you know, we see Netflix basically adding a lot of old content to their network to try and kind of offset the lack of new content. But is it enough? Let us know when you try it out.
But Netflix, I'm sure you're with me. It's just not, something happened at Netflix a month or two ago and something's just not working there. I'm so tempted to cancel it. I'm not impressed. I mean, I'm going to watch the final season of Modern Family. That's probably one of the only reasons why I still have Netflix. And then I'll also continue watching Outer Banks, which is fantastic, the second season. And then after that, I really don't see any reason to keep it. How do you feel?
I feel exactly the same. And it's you know, people say, oh man, you know, it's only R150 or R140 or R90, depending on the package that you get, which actually just correlates with the quality of the picture that you receive. It's R1,500 a year.
Exactly.
You know? That's a lot of money. Over 10 years, that's R15,000. That might not seem like a lot, but if you were to use that money for something else, maybe leisure or holiday, fucking, I don't know, anything, I would say, let's save that money. And at the moment, I'm actually a little bit guilty. I've got two Netflix accounts running at the same time. One is hidden somewhere across the internet. So I'm actually paying $300.
No, man.
So I'm really devastated.
Yes, like it. But listen, let me just tell you. You remember last week we spoke about that new South African streaming service that launched called EVOD, remember?
Yes.
Now, I checked it out, and I am absolutely speechless, because it is so bad. So, so bad.
I thought you were going to say that. Fantastic, I was about to sign up. Why is it bad?
Look, you pay R20 or R29 for it, so what do you expect? I mean, and also, it's ETV, so it's a lot of the stuff that you see on ETV. Which is a free-to-air channel in South Africa, and that would be Anaconda, all that kind of stuff that we've seen before. Now you can just stream it on your phone. I think if you look at their marketing plan and the way they kind of position themselves, it would seem that they're going for the lower income market. So that would be a streaming service for the, you know, the people who don't really earn that much every month, but they want to at least watch something. But I mean, the quality of that content, and I know it's just my opinion, but my God, it's terrible. Sorry.
Is it like 240p, or is it like just terrible, terrible acting, terrible cinematography?
A lot of the stuff is not even in the original language, so they've been translated, and the lip syncing with it and all that kind of stuff. No, man, come on. It's crazy. They've taken some of these overseas shows that are probably cheap on the telenovela channels, and they just overdubbed it in Afrikaans. But no, it's horrible. Really, it's horrible. There's a free component to it as well. You can watch a few things for free, but you can see why it is for free. There's a lot better stuff out there. So yeah, that's definitely a no from me, to quote Simon Cowell.
Leave the island. You have been voted off.
Yes, but listen, check it out. The app is on Google Play Store. EVOD, EVOD. But yeah, don't have high expectations, because no, I seriously don't get the point why they actually launched it in the first place. But as I said, just my opinion, and I know it's for the lower income bracket, so maybe they enjoy it. I don't.
Well, I guess someone who struggles with English or Spanish might appreciate the Afrikaans dub. But at the end of the day, I don't like watching movies that are dubbed. I'd rather watch a movie that's in the original language
and read
with subtitles.
And read the subtitles, yeah. Exactly. Exactly the way I feel.
I'm at peace with it. I'm at peace with that.
Yeah.
Because I can't stand. You know, the problem with the dub is there's nothing wrong with it outside of the fact of that it sounds so separated from the original.
Exactly. It doesn't
video,
you can know? Hear it's recorded in a studio, a soundproof studio with a voice actor standing there. You can just hear it. It's just not natural.
And it's like the people aren't really in the same mindset. You know,
yeah.
They're coming out of a car crash and they just sound like they're walking out of like the V&A waterfront. You know?
Yo, listen, you're spot on. That's exactly what I thought as well. It's so disconnected when you look at the audio track and then you look at the video footage. You're absolutely right. I've never seen a dubbed thing where I felt, listen, this was done really, really well. It always strikes me as a low budget thing, to be honest as well.
And it's one of Netflix's favorite things to do. You know, take movies that are famous in France or Spain or wherever, and then dub it in the English fashion. I mean, I've seen maybe one good one and 30 bad ones. So it's really not a high percentile kind of environment where you're seeing, you know, this high quality post-production voice overlay kind of thing. And I imagine it's not an easy thing to do, but rather not do it at all, to be honest.
Have you ever been in a position where you scout for new movies on Netflix and you read the synopsis and like, hey, this is good, and then you switch it on and then you see, oh my god, it's in a foreign language, and then you're like, listen, if I wanted to read that much, I would just get a book out.
They do that so much. You know, you look and you see, wow, this is look like there was that one show on Netflix called Ragnarok. I was like, oh yeah, here's something like very Marvel, very Thor, like down my alley, dubbed. You know, and I was like, damn. Then it was something called The Pledge Doctor or something like that, and I was like, okay, here we go, dubbed. I'm like, oh my word, I just can't win today.
No, and if you want to chill, you don't want to read that much. I mean, you want to look down occasionally and look on your phone. You don't want to watch all the time, because if you don't read a few lines, you don't know what's happening. But yeah, that seems to be a problem. I think that's a bit of a general problem as well. What have you got for us next?
So speaking of apps that kind of don't reach the expected result, I think TikTok is one of those apps which that exceed expectations, as it is now one of the most downloaded apps outside of a Facebook or a game-related app, with 3+ billion downloads in total so far. I mean, for the first half of 2020, the app saw 619 million first-time installs. And although that dropped somewhat 40% in the first half of 2021, probably because the app was removed from the Indian app stores, that didn't stop people from spending their money, though. Consumer in-app spending rose 73% from the same time a year ago. So TikTok, I mean, I know friends that just don't want to install TikTok. It's like, for some reason, some sort of cancer on their phone that they don't want to even deal with. But most of the time, when someone actually goes and takes that step and tries TikTok out and gives it at least a week or so of liking relevant content that you enjoy, sharing relevant content that you enjoy, following people who create content which you're interested in, your feed becomes populated with very, very interesting and high engaging kind of content that really hooks you onto your phone. That's why we saw someone like YouTube Shorts investing millions into trying to acquire that market share. I think the total was $100 million. We spoke about it last month, where they're paying people anywhere from $400 to $10,000 a month just to use the platform.
Yeah.
They big companies are scared because TikTok is so good. And it's originally a Chinese technology. And people say, you know, I don't want to download an app that is Chinese. First of all, the language isn't in Chinese. It's the technology that was developed in a Chinese kind of industry. And the thing is, China is far superior in digital smartphone technology than we were 5 years ago.
Yeah.
I spoke to someone who worked a lot in China, and they were telling me about how, you know, 60% of the Chinese population that works just screencasts their phone to different devices. So they screencast it to their monitor, or they screencast it to their TV. Yes. And they do everything off of their phone. Now, the technology running there is completely different to traditional Android technology or traditional iOS technology. I don't know how popular Apple is in China, but I do know that the technology that runs the equipment and stuff like that is very, very good. And it can be seen here in the algorithm that has been made to make sure you see content you're interested in. And that's why it is so popular. You're speaking about EVOD, you know, you're going to pay 29 Rand a month to watch content that is subpar, or you download TikTok for free and see 1 minute snippets of some of the most interesting content, whether it's comedic. A lot of people like humor. A lot of people like to see funny things.
Yeah.
A lot of people like science. A lot of people like space. You know, a lot of people like cars. All of this content is there, just like on Instagram, but it comes to you in such a way that you don't have to always go find it. And you're always being engaged with very interesting news, information, technology, humor. It's always, always at the forefront. And when TikTok videos go viral, they really do go viral. Can you imagine a TikToker reviewing something as simple as a new camera? And that is just mind-blowing, like one of Sony's, you know, planet spotting cameras, where you can actually put a lens on and zoom in and see Saturn. People who have the money are going to go buy that camera.
Yeah.
So even from an e-commerce perspective, TikTok is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I've seen that is very interesting transition for TikTok specifically is the advertising on TikTok. Now, a year ago, when you came across an ad on TikTok, you immediately knew it was an ad because the quality of content is different. It's not poor quality, but it is not cinematic quality. It's individuals making videos. Even on YouTube, if you go watch a review of one of the latest laptops or TVs or smartphones or something like that, you're going to see high quality cinematics. You're going to see very, very high quality videography. But everything on TikTok is usually made on TikTok, filmed with the phone and edited on TikTok, not necessarily on external editing software. So when some advertiser came in and advertised on TikTok, you immediately see this change in the type of content that you see, the way that it is filmed and the quality of the audio, and you say, okay, no, this is an ad, skip it, I'm not interested. But now advertisers have gone further and they've actually started to recreate ads in the formatting of TikTok, and they can do exceptionally well. I know gaming ads also do very well, you know, selling one of the latest games and having a little preview of someone playing the game. I know they use Ninja, which is a very popular streamer, to do some ads for certain games and things like that. If you're a business that makes money online, it's a very wise decision for you to start advertising on TikTok without any kind of doubt. I believe that if you can match the formatting of the content, you will sell your product. If you utilize one of a TikTok creator for your ads and you sponsor that ad, you will sell products. If you just use influencers to mention your products, you will sell. So
yeah.
I think from two perspectives, entertainment and marketing, TikTok is making big strides.
Listen, I now that you mentioned TikTok, it brings something back. A while ago, I mentioned a TikTok to an older lady. You know what she thought it was?
What?
She thought it was the clock on the phone.
The TikTok. Oh, my word.
Yo, that was hilarious.
Oh, my word.
That was hilarious. Shame, man. That's so innocent. I love it.
I was speaking to one of my clients the other day, and they said, you know, we were having a chat about how how good TikTok is from a from an age perspective. You know, is there only millennials on there? Is there Gen X on there? Is there an older demographic on there? And one of the guys actually said, you know, he always gets messages from his grandfather and his grandmother of TikTok videos. Now, that is something that you don't often expect.
Wow. No, not at all. Jeez. Imagine a granny starting to make TikTok videos. That would be pretty cool as well. Imagine the TikTok granny.
I've even seen some scientists on TikTok, doctors on TikTok, engineers on TikTok, physicists on TikTok, astronomers on TikTok. So it's not just this, you know, funny video kind of place. It's a place where people with high level of education can also go, and people actually find it very interesting. Like, I would run to find out from an engineer what he thinks about the new Audi engine, even though I'm not a car person.
Yeah,
I think it's a very good opportunity to hear from the horse's mouth something very, very interesting. You know, why would you trust a random stranger on the street or some random YouTuber making videos if you can listen directly to a professional as well, you know, a doctor as well? If a doctor's talking about COVID-19 vaccines and things like that, which has become very popular on TikTok at the moment, people scrutinizing the whole vaccine and everything, I would rather listen to it from a person like that than anything else. So it is a great place, and it makes sense why they've scaled in user base so significantly, because if your granny can enjoy watching videos on there, your child of 9 can enjoy watching videos on there, and the videos that they see don't overlap each other, so your granny doesn't see videos of the videos your 9-year-old's watching, and your 9-year-old doesn't see videos that your granny's watching. It becomes this one place for you to see content that you're really interested in.
Absolutely. We're coming back, and then I've got a question for you, Kane. We'll be back just now. Welcome back to Tech Thursday. It's Jan and Kane with you, and we are about to wrap it up for this rainy Thursday. But right now, I want to ask you a question, Kane. You obviously haven't received or accepted the WhatsApp policy yet, have you?
No, I still get pop-ups at least once a day, and it's just become the second nature of turning it off.
Is it so? Okay. Is it still working though? It is still working.
I've had absolutely no change in the service that I receive. I don't see anyone with more services than I have, and I definitely don't feel like I've reduced kind of facilitation of services.
So are you still able to update the app manually or automatically via your app store and have the latest WhatsApp or not?
It just updates automatically, I don't even have to touch it.
And have you got the new feature called View Once?
Yep, I got it.
Hey, have you tried it out? I haven't tried it out yet. How is it? Have you tried it?
I have. It works exactly how it's advertised. You know, you view the picture once and then it's gone. It's like it was never sent.
Yo, okay. So that would be, I suppose, being naughty, that would be for nudes. But like we said last week, what about screenshots?
Let me put it this way. If you decide, okay, I'm gonna go send a little naughty pic, they get a screenshot. There's no doubt about it. You're not gonna get away with it. I mean, if someone happened to send me something like that, even my friend accidentally sending me a picture instead of sending it to his respective, you know, personal partner or whatever, I'm gonna screenshot it and hold it over his head. Absolutely, I will not let that
make
thing
fun
expire.
Of it. Yes. Yo, now I can imagine.
Don't feel safe in that environment, that's for sure. Because you know, if a screenshot isn't enough, if someone has another device with a camera on and they just take a picture, you're screwed. There's
exactly.
No security.
Oh, my word. Yes, exactly. Shibbit. Anyway, that is going to take a lot of people down, I think. That's going to help a lot in the blackmail department, I think, blackmailing people. But anyway, what have you
Absolutely.
Got for us next, Kane?
So hackers stole $613 million in a DeFi heist. DeFi stands for decentralized finance, and it really is exactly what it is kind of described as. It's a financial industry which is not of a centralized nature. It's decentralized. And recently hackers pulled off one of the biggest ever cryptocurrency heists on Tuesday, stealing $613 million in digital coins from token swapping platform Poly Network. They then returned $260 million worth of tokens in less than 24 hours later. So the first question is, you know, what is Poly Network? Now, without getting too technologically advanced, Poly Network is a DeFi or decentralized finance platform that facilitates peer-to-peer transactions with a focus on allowing users to transfer or swap tokens from different blockchains. Now, putting that in a very simple fashion, traditionally you would go to something like Luno or a cryptocurrency exchange in order to sell your Bitcoin for Ethereum or sell your Ethereum for Litecoin or whatever you want to do. Now you go to a decentralized exchange and you basically go and transfer or swap tokens, which means you're not using a central authority to do that. You're not using one platform such as Luno, which is owned by Luno, run by Luno, has staff employed by Luno in order to facilitate it. It's run by the people for the people. And recently, a hacker or a group of hackers found a bug within Poly Network's kind of smart contract or technology, and they were able to basically steal $613 million worth of coins. One of the smart contracts that the Poly Network uses to transfer tokens between blockchains maintains large amounts of liquidity to allow users to swap tokens efficiently. Unfortunately, what happened was they were able to steal 12 different cryptocurrencies by kind of overwhelming the contract or making the contract bug out and send tokens that were supposed to be swapped to another address which they owned. And here's the interesting thing, right? So why was that money returned? Well, he or the hacker group is claiming that it was a white hat kind of hack, which means, you know, you kind of expose a vulnerability so that they can fix it before something really untoward happens. But reality is, to try and liquidate $613 million worth of crypto is no easy feat. To liquidate even $613 million worth of cash is no easy feat, but it's definitely easier to do than on crypto, because crypto is very transparent. A lot of big corporations and financial institutions utilize analysis technology in order to track and trace certain transactions. So they believe, at least security firms believe, that the reason that money was returned was because it was just too much to try and get rid of. So to change the narrative a bit, they obviously sent a little bit back. But it is going to obviously cause a little bit of regulation investigation into crypto and into DeFi now that something so bad has happened. But there are some really reputable companies out there, such as Grievous Greg, Chief Technology Officer, Chain Analysis, and a former FBI veteran, said it is unlikely that white hat hackers would steal such a large sum. He said they had probably returned some of the funds because it had proved too difficult to convert them into cash. It's hard to know the motivation. Let's see if they return the whole amount. That's what he added. So that is something that is going on. And it just reiterates, you know, don't go and invest your life savings in crypto. Get to know the system, get to know the environment, the industry, and then make informed decisions on money that you're capable of losing, like any traditional investment. You know, for someone that thought they were in a safe space and got, you know, wrecked or rug pulled, you lose a lot of money. So it just goes to show, you know, you have to keep your wits about you. There is hackers at play, and it has to go this way in order for it to become secure, in order for it to become completely, non-hackable. People have to hack. People have to destroy bugs and things like that. So when stuff like this happens, it's a good sign, because it means the future technology built above this is going to be more secure. It's going to be better to trace and track people and criminals in the environment. But at the end of the day, it's just people stealing money, just like traditional money. We have to keep our wits about us with whatever we do with our money, right?
Yeah. But the only DeFi I know is my fridge, but that was very, very interesting. Listen, Kane, I see we're out of time, man. Can you believe it? But anyway, I see Bank Zero launched this week. It's South Africa's newest digital bank, officially launched to the public on Tuesday, but they call it a throttled launch. So, you know, they want to be able to keep up with volume of people. Bank Zero co-founders Michael Jordan, he's been planning it since 2018, even before that, and he is saying that you can sign up for Bank Zero, but you will have to join it, like there will be a waiting list for it. Nice thing about Bank Zero is it looks like you don't pay any banking fees, so that's really, really nice. Yeah, Bank Zero. Hey,
do they just invest money within the bank? It begs the question, how do they make money? Yeah,
that is quite interesting. We'll have to look at that story in depth next time. And then I also see that Windows, I think they're trying to push everybody to Windows 11 now, gradually. They say that support for Windows 10 will end in 4 years. On the 14th of October, very specific, 2025, Windows 10 will no longer be supported. So they kind of want to push everybody to Windows 11.
And it's interesting because Windows 11 requires more hardware in order to run successfully, which means they expect that with by 2025, everyone will have enough hardware capabilities in order to run Windows 11. But just like Windows 7 and Windows XP, they aren't supported anymore, but you can still, you work with them, you can still install them. So there's not going to be like a scarcity kind of environment. It's still going to be run, but there will obviously be no future updates for that. If there's new hardware that's created, like graphics cards or processors that run a little differently, Windows 11 2025 onwards will probably be able to utilize it, whereas Windows 10, if the technology is developed after 2025, wouldn't be able to utilize it. Interesting. Mm.
Thanks, Kane. That's it for Tech Thursday today. I just had a phone call in the background, and it's Truecaller is telling me it's the TV license, people. Can you bloody believe it? I don't want to pay my TV license, for God's sakes. I don't like your TV.
I don't need it.
Exactly. For God, I barely like Netflix. Come on. Kane,
it's
thank you.
Like an, hmm? It's a way, it's like an, what would you call it? It's like a, you don't have a decision in whether you can or can't pay your TV license, whether you watch SABC or not. I mean, you buy a 40,000 rand TV and you still have to pay a TV license. Like, I've spent my money already. I won't watch SABC, I promise.
Yeah, but people are bypassing that now. They're buying screens, so it doesn't have a TV receiver built in. And they can't do anything about that, because if it's just a screen that isn't able to receive anything, you can connect that screen to anything, and you don't have to pay a TV license. So that's what people are doing now. They're not buying TVs, they're buying screens. Keep that in mind.
Very interesting. I'm going to start watching the DSTV off of my laptop, my computer monitor.
Yes, monitor and screen, not a TV. You can keep your TV. We don't use it. Those receivers are not being used anyway, so come on. Anyway.
Well, thanks so much for having me on. It was great. Another great Tech Thursday, and we'll see everyone next week.
And I hope to see you in studio next week.
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Cool, man. Kane, thank you so much. Have a lekker weekend, eh?
You too, Jan. Thanks very much. Cheers.
Cheers, man. Bye.
Bye-bye.
B-Radio is celebrating its first birthday on the 1st of September. And to celebrate, we're giving away a two-night stay for two at the luxurious Dover-on-Sea Beachfront B&B in Sedgefield. Enjoy luxury, comfort, and warm hospitality. Wake up in the honeymoon suite to the sound of breaking waves. Stay connected with free Wi-Fi. Enjoy a breakfast on the patio while admiring the endless ocean views. Experience another magnificent sunset while sipping on a drink from the self-help cash bar or snuggle up by the fireplace. And there's even more. We're throwing in a dinner for two at VDM Bistro and a 500 Rand Pili Pili Beach Bar voucher. It's the ultimate spring breakaway for two, and it's our gift to you. Stay tuned to eRadio and our Facebook page for more details on how to enter. And catch a live draw on our birthday, the 1st of September. Celebrating 1 year of entertainment radio on the go with eRadio.